Because of listeners like you, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
I want to start the program today, and I want to reference two songs. If you listen to Exploring the Word much, I mention music a lot. I love music. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 24, 25. We'll talk about some of the famous parables. We'll get to Matthew 25. And Bert, when I was a youth pastor, and I had played guitar for Young Life and different youth things, really even before I was personally saved, I had played guitar for youth things. But we used to do, this is way back in the 80s, a song, "Give Me Oil in My Lamp, Keep Me Burning, Burning." Do you ever remember that song?
I remember it well.
"Give me oil in my lamp, I pray, keep me burning to the break of day." And as I was reading in Matthew 25, the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, I thought about that old song about "give me oil in my lamp." I thought you might remember that too.
I do. I'm young enough, I mean old enough to remember that. And so it does. And so we'll get to that. It's very important. Have oil. What good is a lamp like that without oil? It's not going to help you, is it?
Well, that's true. That's true. Now, I'm going to mention another song, and then we're going to read some from Matthew 25. And I invite you, if you've got a copy of God's Word, turn to the New Testament book of Matthew. Bert, I think it was probably the first time that I ever went as a messenger to the Southern Baptist Convention. This was many, many years ago. And it was in Phoenix, Arizona, and maybe you might have been there.
I was there. Yeah.
Yeah, this is more than 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And so it was like the first day, and it was really great. And if you've ever been to one of the Baptist conventions, I mean, there's just this emphasis on the Great Commission. Well, the lights went down, and a group came out to sing, and it might have been the Newsboys, but the song they did was called "The Midnight Cry." Speaking of, there is going to be a day when there'll be a shout, a cry from heaven, a blast of a trumpet, and Christ returns. And just as in the parable of the wise virgins, the bridegroom in verse 10 comes, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding, and the door was shut, but some weren't ready. And Bert, when I read Matthew 25:10 about the moment the bridegroom comes for the bride, I think about that gospel song, "The Midnight Cry." The moment will happen. The day is coming.
It is coming. And being ready. But while we need to be ready, we will be waiting. And that's where we are now. We're still waiting. So the whole idea is, are you ready while you're waiting? And both of the parables that we'll look at today concerning the virgins and the servants who were given the money, they both were waiting for a return. And so one was the bridegroom, the other one was the master. So we're waiting. We're waiting for the Lord Jesus. Is he going to find us ready? Is he going to find us serving and using what he's given us? So Alex, let's start with chapter 24, just the first part, so to set it up what we're talking about. And then we just mentioned 24 is talking about when, and it happens with the question. In chapter 24, verse 1, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple." They were impressed with the buildings, and I'm not sure Jesus was that impressed, okay?
Yeah.
Because he says, "Do you not see all these things? I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." He is telling what the future. Now, verse 3, here it is. "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately," without the multitudes here, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, that is the question that sets up the chapters 24 and 25. What will be the sign? When will these things be? He starts talking about the tribulation here in chapter 24, 4 through 26. He talks about the second coming in verses 27 all the way through the rest, verse 31, and then gives the parable of the fig tree, the days of Noah, and then he gets into some parables of the two servants. But that brings us to chapter 25 with two, I wouldn't say lengthy, parables, but they're longer than a lot of them, aren't they, Alex?
Well, they really are. They really are. And you know, I want to get into 25, but that is amazing when the disciples were showing Jesus the vast buildings of the temple, and I mean, he's the God of the temple.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Revelation 18, incidentally, says that all the cities of the world are going to fall in the space of 1 hour. And Bert, I think about, I was out in Seattle, Washington, and Everett, Washington, I believe it is where the Boeing factory is, some of the largest buildings I've ever seen, where they make these jumbo jets, and indoors they'll build these jets and bring them out. Massive, staggeringly large buildings. And human beings have made some amazing things, from the pyramids to the Eiffel Tower, and yet in less than 60 minutes, it's all going to crumble.
Oh, wow.
But the kingdom of Christ will be ushered in. But Matthew 25, then the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, Bert, oil, it very often means, or is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And just as oil is in a lamp, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. And, you know, outwardly carrying around a lamp might have looked like they were ready for the bridegroom, but the outward appearances and the external machinations, that's not the whole story. It's what's on the inside. And I think about how Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The oil in our lamps is symbolic of truly having a relationship with Christ, being born again, and indwelt and sealed by his Holy Spirit, is it not?
It is. He who has the Spirit has life. He who does not have the Spirit does not have life, and it does not dwell in him. But those of us who have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit comes in immediately. It's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and this oil represents this. And you have 5 ready and 5 that were not. Now, what made the difference? On the outside, it looks like they were dressed right and they had the right equipment, but there was something missing. And I couldn't help but think, as you said, Nicodemus, I also can't think of help but think about the rich young ruler. Man, he'd kept all these things since his youth. Man, surely I've done enough. But he was missing something. Judas Iscariot, here he was. He was one of the 12. And when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, they didn't say, oh, man, we've been waiting on you to know it was Judas. No, they all said, is it I? And so the outward appearance, yes, we need to walk and act correctly. Don't miss that. But I want to just tell you, you can go with a bunch of rules and a bunch of regulations and check them off and keep them off and miss what God is doing inside in your life. God works from the inward out, Alex. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. I know this is before your time, but when Lyndon Johnson was president, they wanted to bring about the Great Society. So here in the ghettos in the city, in the Appalachian Mountains especially, where poverty was, he said, man, we're going to take them out of their poverty and put them in better places. Listen, you can change the outside. You can change, but unless the inside is changed, the dog, and I'm using this, and it's a very you know, powerful. It's not a beautiful illustration. The dog returns to its vomit, and the pig returns to its wallah. The change has got to take place within, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, I've shared this illustration many times, but when Billy Graham was in New York City, I think in 1957, they were in the downtown. And actually, when I was in New York City, just hours after 9/11, I met a number of people that had come to Christ when Billy Graham preached in Madison Square Garden in the 50s. But they're downtown, and there's a communist up on a soapbox, and he points to a homeless person, and he said, communism can put a new suit of clothes on that man. And Billy Graham said, yes, but Jesus could put a new man in that suit of clothes.
Amen.
And that's like what you said, that, I mean, it doesn't matter if you throw money at people or change their location. For life to change and ultimately marriages and families and cultures to be transformed, there has to be a change on the inside, and only the Lord Jesus can affect that change. In Matthew 25, it says in verse 5, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Okay, Jesus ascended to heaven, Acts 1:11, but he's coming back. And right now we're in a thing called the church age. And some are ready, some are diligent, some, and we're going to get to the talents here in a while, but some are slumbering and sleeping. Verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him. Then those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. There's another old gospel song, keep your lamp trimmed and burning. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Bert, I've always pondered on verse 8. Their lamps weren't ever on. They didn't have any oil in those lamps.
Yeah. Well, they may have had the wick, okay,
yeah,
or whatever. It will light, but it will not stay.
Excellent.
It even smokes and gives irritating smell.
Yeah. Now, that'll preach, Bert.
It will.
The wise said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Okay, there's not time to go. The bridegroom is coming. He's even at the door. Here's one thing I want to say is the oil in the lamp cannot be transferred. It's non-transferable.
That's right.
Let me say this. God doesn't have any grandchildren. Maybe your mom and dad, your grandparents were godly people, and they helped build the church. But what about you? Do you have a born-again relationship? Maybe some of your closest friends are Christians. What about you? Just as the virgins, they couldn't give the oil to somebody else. Everybody has to get it for themselves. And folks, you have to open your heart to Christ, and you have to be born again. And the good news is, even this very day, you can be by putting your faith in Jesus Christ.
The door was shut. There's a time frame. There's a time when, okay, you can come in. It is open. The gate is open. The way is ready. But then the door is shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Now, Alex, you couldn't help but think of what he said in Matthew 7 at the Sermon on the Mount when he said, Lord, have we not done these things in your name? We've done all these outward things. And guess what he says there? I never knew you. Those words you don't want to hear, do you, Alex?
You really don't. And the thing is, you don't have to hear them. What you can hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And by putting your faith in Christ, you will hear those words. Well, stay tuned. More parables of Jesus on this edition of Exploring the Word.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. AFA.net/topics/250.
a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds a call, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call God's children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet Him in the air.
Amen. Amen. Alex, that's the song you were talking about, brother.
Amen. Hey, don't we have the best engineers and producers to bring up the great music to go with the Word of God?
We
That's
really
good,
do.
Isn't it?
These writers of music, and then the poetry, and then the ability to put the music, and then those that can produce it. And man, thank God for them, Alex. They have blessed my life. And that song, what a song it is. And so
indeed,
at the midnight cry, so here's the word, verse 13, watch therefore.
Mm-hmm.
We better be ready, because He is coming back, isn't He?
Well, He really is. And I've shared this illustration before, but I believe it was May 7th of last year. The ID changed. You had to have what was called a real ID to fly. And if some of you know, there's you get your driver's license, and the real ID, quote-unquote, has a little star in the upper right-hand corner. For those online, I'm holding up my driver's license right now. And, Bert, I was at the airport the day, and there had been for a good 2 years, I do a lot of flying, there had been signs in the airport, your ID or passport has to be verified before May 7, 2025. Be alert. After that date, your old style of ID is not valid for travel. And Bert, I'll never forget, I was at the airport in Greensboro, North Carolina, and it got to be the day. And there were people in line, and I'm talking well-dressed, clearly, you know, well-to-do travelers. And they were saying to the gate agent and the TSA security, but I have to get on the plane. And they were saying, you don't have the correct ID, but I have to be somewhere. And I was thinking about this. And then there were, you know, people, and thank God I had the correct ID because I got ready. But these signs were up for over 2 years. And I think about this for all of our lives, whether we live to be 50, 70, 80 years old, all of our life, the Holy Spirit is calling, saying, are you ready?
Amen.
Are you right with God? Then for 19 centuries plus, the church has cried out, be ye reconciled to God. The Spirit and the bride and the book, all three say, come. And yet, Bert, when you read Matthew 25, 1 through 13, there are going to be some that say, but, and the bridegroom shuts the door and says, I don't know you. And so Jesus says in verse 13, watch therefore, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. That's why we would plea and beg and say, are you ready? Because either by death or the trumpet sound, we're going to meet God one day, and we must be born again or we're unprepared.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Amen. We make the transition to another one of his parables about the servants given amount of money and to invest it, guess what? While they are waiting. Alex, there's two different kinds of waiting. You can wait, and I'm going to use a Southern expression I grew up with, twiddling your thumbs away.
Yeah.
You know, hands not doing anything, but you're just sitting there and your thumbs go around and around. Have you ever heard of a do-nothing machine?
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay. We were in Branson, Missouri, and they had this little what they call the do-nothing machine, and it was someone had made it, and all you do is crank it, but it doesn't do anything. A do-nothing machine. It doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't do anything. You just turn the handle. Here it is. We are to be busy while we're waiting. And I'm going to use this word. We're to invest our lives while we're waiting for Christ. And there's that waiting and purposeful waiting, doing what God would have us to do while we wait on Him. Let me start this in verse 14. The second parable that he gives here in chapter 25. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, when I use the word talent, it's amount of money, and it's a big amount of money, by the way. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But, here's the contrast, he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, hid the Lord's money. After a long time, and I'm going to stop at verse 19. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came, and listen to this word, and settled accounts with them. Alex, are the accounts going to be settled one day?
All accounts are going to be settled one day. It's funny, I was just thinking about the Johnny Cash version of "The Old Account Was Settled Long Ago."
That's it.
Another great gospel song. Sorry, folks, I can't help it. I love music. But yes, and there are accounts. And here's the thing. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's Romans 6:23. A wage, a paycheck. A net result. You know, you work a 40-hour week, along comes payday, and you get a recompense for the hours. Well, you live your life, there's a payoff, there's a wage, and it doesn't matter if you, by the world's estimation, if you've been, quote, good or, quote, bad, you've been, you know, you've tried your best, whatever, without Jesus, Your pay envelope is going to carry lostness. That's all. You know, we've Matthew 7:21-24, where Jesus says to many, and I know it's with a heavy heart and a sad voice, because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody lost, but He is not going to force you. The Spirit of God will offer salvation, make you aware of it, but you must open your heart and respond to Christ. And many will hear, "Depart, I never knew you." That's going to be the wage you carry away from your life. Bert, we're all sinners, but through Jesus, we can all be forgiven, but we have to put our faith in Him. And so there is going to be a settling of accounts, isn't it, Bert?
There really is. And again, notice these words. I could not help 5, yes, 2, and 1. Verse 15, to each according to his own ability. God has invested in us. Does that mean He loves more than others? No, it just means that to whom much is given, much is required, and sometimes we're given much. You and I, Alex, just this radio program, okay? There's a lot of pastors. I was a pastor for 40 years, okay? And and you've been on staff and ministering and serving. You know, but when God opened up this radio program for us, this hour, every Monday through Friday, an hour of opening God's Word, what a responsibility. What more? It's like God said, okay, I gave you this in a church. I gave you this possibility, but I'm giving you this responsibility, this. And it's a great, what are we going to do with it? Yes. And so, what you've been given by God, there's an accountability for that. To whom much is given, much is required. So that settlement is there. And so he gave 5, 2, and 1. And again, the first 2, 5, what did he do? He invested it. And the second one, invested it. The third one, I buried it, you know? Mm. And now we can get to the reasons why. Verse 20, so he had received five talents, came and brought five more talents. Lord, you've delivered me five talents. Look, I've gained five more besides this. The Lord said what? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Same thing with two. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. He says the same thing to both of them. But then he come to the one talent. Lord, verse 24, I knew you to be a hard man. Where did he get that information, Alex?
Well, he knew, didn't he?
Well, you know, God's a gracious God. If this is representative of God, he's a gracious God, and he's going to do what's right. But being just is not being hard. You catch?
That's true.
There's a big difference there, brother, I think.
Well, exactly. And God is not cruel. God is not unfair. And God doesn't show favoritism he doesn't show favoritism or malice. He's just. In fact, he's a God of grace. And this thing, what an insult. How disrespectful. In verse 24, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man.
Yeah.
Look, he entrusted you with something. He gave you something and gave you life and gave you opportunity to take your talent and yield an increase. He allowed you to have a place in the heavenly economy.
Amen.
A hard man? I think God's pretty gracious to this guy.
And let's say this to those who are listening right now, Alex. There's some people listening right now, and they think, God, man, I've heard how hard you are. God, why are you letting evil take place? If you were a good God, all this would not take place. God has given us a way, the way, and it's Jesus Christ, to come into relationship with him. Yes, we live in a fallen world. It rains on the just and the unjust. Is rain good or bad? Yes, it is. Too much? Floods, you know? So, Alex, this information that he got, don't let bad information about our Heavenly Father, those of you who are listening, keep you from really knowing him. And it's just been Father's Day, and I've listened to some podcasts recently, and about four or five, they'd sing that song, You're a Good, Good Father. I want to tell everybody who is listening, God's a good, good Father, and through Jesus Christ, you can know him.
Amen.
It's the way to go, isn't it, Alex?
Well, it really is. And, you know, thinking about talents, some of the wise counsel I ever got when I was at Liberty University, two guys that were just the best, Elmer Towns and Harold Wilmington. And if anybody listening ever went to Liberty University from the 70s to the early 2000s, and Bert, I know you knew Dr. Towns, I believe.
I did.
Those guys were fantastic. And one time, we were very privileged. Some of us were sitting around and just listening to these men share wisdom, guys that had worked with everybody from Billy Graham on down. And Dr. Falwell was really influential, Jerry Falwell. But I heard one of them say, they said, we've watched guys come through here, and they want to try to imitate Adrian Rogers or imitate Jerry Falwell. And that's fine, you know, to have your heroes. But they said, don't try to be a Billy Graham, because you're supposed to be you.
Amen.
And don't try to be a Jerry Falwell, because the world doesn't want to miss out on an Alex McFarlane or a Chris Gambas. The point is, and at the same time, we shouldn't be envious. Look, I know there are big churches. We've been to some of them. And then there's the little country church of, you know, 50 people. To all the pastors out there, I want to say this. If you're faithfully handling your assignment, that's every bit as valid as the mega church pastor over 10,000 people. And it's, don't focus on where the decimal point is. Focus on faithfulness. Because any of us, I want to tell you something. I really mean it. I thank the Lord every time I've ever put this, I plug in this microphone. We've got this gear. Bert, 16 years, I don't think I've ever hooked up the Comrex that I didn't in my heart. I said, Lord Jesus, thank you. This is such an honor.
Amen.
Thank you. But
Amen.
It was an honor to speak for 8 youth at a hot dog supper 30 years ago, too. And, Bert, I really, really mean that. Don't you agree?
I do. Alex, five talents, two talents, one talent, it does not matter. Be faithful with what God has given you. And Amen. That's what he said. He took that one talent from the guy who buried it, and he did what? Gave it to the guy who now has 10 talents. And why? Not because God's unfair, because he'll know he'll use it correctly. So you want to use the time God has, the resources God has, use them for his glory while we're waiting for his return. This man, and what he did, revealed who he was, his lack of faith, not knowing who God was. And it says the unprofitable servant was cast into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, it's severe not to know Christ as Savior. No, mm-hmm. he's not hard, but he is just. And he says, come mm-hmm. to me. Well, Alex, real quickly, by the way, it's the day of prayer. So so go ahead and finish this out. That number, by the way, if you'd call 888-589-8840, give us a call. Day of prayer. Alex, take us out.
We've got a break, folks, and then we come back. We're going to take calls, your prayer requests, your Bible questions, if you've got a Bible question. Again, the toll-free number, 888-589-8840. Bert and I would love to hear from you on this edition of Exploring the Word. Stay tuned.
Right now, more mothers need that moment of hope. Just $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps rescue five babies. Your generous, tax-deductible gift also helps provide mothers who choose life with loving support and care for up to 2 years. Please don't wait. Help surround mothers and babies with compassion, truth, and hope today. To donate, dial hashtag 250 and say the keyword baby. That's hashtag 250 baby, or visit preborn.com/Bert Harper. That's preborn.com Bert Harper.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. We've got lines open if you have a Bible question or if you want to share a prayer request. You will get through. It's 888-589-8840. And Bert, I'm going to let you cue up the call computer if you don't mind. I was thinking about something about the talents. Think about this, and this impacted me. It may surprise people to know that Ernest Hemingway, the famed writer, died in 1961. He wrote sometimes for Sports Illustrated. Did you know that, Bert?
I did not know that.
And
no.
There's a story I read many, many years ago, but it really touched my heart. Ernest Hemingway wrote a story for Sports Illustrated about doing your best. Giving your best. And he tells the story when he was back in high school that he was in an English class and everybody had to write a short story. And I suppose even back then in his teens, his writing abilities were beginning to show. And some student that he knew was kind of a poor student. He looked and that guy got an A. And he got like a C. And he went to the teacher. He said, look, I happen to know what I turned in is way better than what that other guy did. How in the world did that student get an A and I got a C? And the teacher, who apparently was a very wise teacher, he said, given his level of ability, he did an A. But given the level of ability you've got, you get a C because you didn't do your best and you should have. And Ernest Hemingway said that really convicted him. And I think about it, folks, every one of us has much, much in life that we've been entrusted with by the Lord. Let's give God our best.
Amen. There's an old hymn that goes that, our best. I haven't thought about that in years. You just said that. I couldn't say it, but I remember singing it as a young teenager. Give him your best. And listen, that's what we're saying. Give God your life and then serve him with all your might. Well, we've got people that have called in. That number, and we do have lines that are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Indiana and talk to Kimberly. Kimberly, thank you for calling today. Go right ahead.
I'm calling for a prayer request. I have a little orange and white. Sorry, little orange and white cat. He has cerebral palsy, and he's not supposed to get outside. And he got out. He's gotten out before, but he's never stayed gone overnight like this. He got out yesterday evening, and I'm really worried about him.
Okay, Kimberly. Alex, Wow. You know what it is to love a pet, because we hear Esther quite often. And so, yeah, pets, man. And Kimberly, thank you for calling.
Yes.
Alex, is there something that we shouldn't pray for? Or is people, I think it's something we ought to pray for myself. What about you?
We should absolutely pray. And I'm not ashamed to tell you, I have spent sleepless nights praying for a kitty cat to come home, too. I want to pray for this. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless Kimberly. Give her comfort. And Lord, speak to that little cat you made and tell that cat to come home. In Jesus' name, I pray that cat is safe and the cat has cerebral palsy. But pets are such a comfort to us. And Lord, give this woman another day with her kitty cat. Make that cat come home. I ask it in Jesus' name, and help Kimberly trust in you as she waits. And we hope to get a good report on this. And we ask it in your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. One of the greatest programs that I ever remember with Dr. James Dobson was the time he visited out in Bend, Oregon. And there was a lady there that had horses that had been mistreated, and she had the ranch for them. And what would happen when abused or children that were, considered something wrong, and seemed like those horses and those individuals, there would be a great communication with them. And she even told the story how about one horse just would bend the neck and hug the neck of this girl that was just struggling so much. So
amen.
Thank God, thank you for animals. I really
amen.
Do. We praise God for that. Well, let's go to Virginia and talk to Steve. Steve, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you, guys. Love you guys. Alex, a few years ago, I called in and asked you a question. Whether the fall affected the entire universe that God created. And you thought for 10 seconds and said yes. And that really blew my mind. So I have a question follow-up to your follow-up is this.
Okay.
You know all the talk that people are having about aliens and stuff like
right.
that. Two questions, actually. But let me get to the first one, and then I'll mention the second. Because... And I think you're right. The fall affected the entire creation. Does that imply that the earth and the populated earth that God created is that's it? We are the only creatures that God created. Or then the fall would have affected other universes and other. I'm kind of fuzzy on how to express this question, but that's my first question.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for calling in. And you know what? I do remember. I don't know that I could have called your name or anything, but I remember that. I believe that the fall affected all of creation. Now, and I want to say this, and I'll happily be on record saying this. I do not think there is human life on other planets. I really don't. Now, there are four kinds of life forms. There's humans, plants, animals, and angels. There's angelic life. And we know that part of the angelic life is fallen. And Bert, I truly believe, for one thing, what we call UFOs, some of it is explicable. I mean, there have been satellites that flashed some reflection from the sun and, weather balloons. I truly believe some of what are these unexplained phenomenon that seem to defy the laws of physics, I think they're demons. I really do.
Yeah.
And people, I've talked to atheists that say, maybe we can contact aliens. Maybe there are aliens and we'll someday communicate. Be very, very careful. I do think it's interesting, Bert, what they call a close encounter of the third kind. In other words, not just visual, not just physical, but communication. It's always people that are not born-again Christians. And I think those that aren't saved, those that are not sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, those people are vulnerable to demonic deception. So the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 45 and following, that Jesus is the second Adam, the first Adam, our father Adam and Eve, father and mother. They came and brought sin into the world. Jesus, the second Adam, is a life-giving spirit. Bert, I really don't think we have clear evidence for any human life on any planet except planet Earth.
When you consider, and Robert, Steve, we'll get to you in just a second with your quick second question because we've got other callers. But let me say this, Earth, third from the sun. You take Mars, further away, Venus, there, too close. All the others, Mercury, too close, and you can go out. There was this, and it was on, you know, public television, but they did talk about the perfect planet right here with this atmosphere. And I know I watched Star Wars, and it was neat to see that planet had two moons. You better be glad we don't have two moons. Because of the one moon and the gravitational pull, because of where it's located, you have the in tide, the out tide, you coming in and out, and that brings life to the ocean. And ice, how does it freeze? From the top down. Alex, if it froze the other way, life in the ocean and water would be impossible. So listen. I do believe that as well. Hey, Steve, we're going to take a chance. Make this next question as short as you can, brother. Go right ahead.
Are you familiar with the book Alien Invasion?
There it is, Alex. Yeah. I'm not. Go ahead.
I've heard of it, yes.
Okay, do you have any opinion on it? Maybe you haven't read it. I heard about it on your station, not your program, but your station. I've read it. It's really it basically says the alien junk is demonic. It's all demonic, and I agree with you on all that.
Refresh my memory of who the author is. Do you recall?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I cannot. I'm driving, and I don't have the book with me.
I remember that interview.
Was it
Steve?
The one by Warren Wiersbe?
I don't think so. No. I think it was written after this.
Let me do a little homework before I comment on that, because I'm very hesitant to recommend resources that I'm not really, really familiar with. So, yes, I'm somewhat familiar with it, but before I say yay or nay, give me 24 hours to do some homework on it.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man. Keep listening. Well, real quick, before we go to Robert, hang on. Alex, I feel led that we need to pray for your youth camp that's going on now. It's in Georgia, right?
It is, and a number of kids have made decisions for Christ already, and I appreciate that. And, Bert, I'll tell you, just the zeal for the Lord, the spiritual hunger, and just the enthusiasm about what it is to know Jesus is more than anything I've ever seen, Bert.
It is me. Again, I mentioned this the other day. We had a group of Mississippi youth coming and singing, and to catch them and their enthusiasm, their love, and their willingness to be a part. Our granddaughter, she's a college student. She's at a camp this summer and working and then discipling. And man, all these different youth groups going to different places and ministering. I'm excited about what God's going to do. So let me pray for the youth camps and all the others.
Thank
Father,
you.
Father, I thank you for Alex. I thank you for the heart that he has for this generation that's coming up. And he has said it again. And each year, it seems like this group is growing more and more intense on the reality of who you are and that we can know you through Jesus Christ. And Father, I'm praying for the youth camp, especially those that need to be saved, they would. Those that are on mission trips, those that are about your business, I pray, God, that you'd protect them. And I pray you would help them grow, and may they increase in their knowledge of you, their love for you, and may that influence be led to the adults following them. A child will lead them. Father, we're praying that this generation, a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit, even not just revival, but a great awakening would take place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's go to Mississippi, and it's Robert. Robert, thank you for calling. Go right ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. I just want to get people to pray for you and Alex, because in AFR and the way it just seems like it grounds me so much to listen to the programs. And one of my favorite programs is the one that comes on at 3 in the morning. And I don't know why it's on at 3, but the one with that is such a good. The first caught me was the song on there, "Send Out a Prayer," and I didn't even really know the words. I knew something about that song, but anyway, I just want to lift you guys up.
Well, Robert, thank you, man.
Wanted prayer for myself. For I'm facing they just put a spinal cord stimulator in about 2 months ago, and I was giving me all kind of trouble. Now they got to take it right back out, so I'm having surgery on the July 7th for that. I've had 8 spinal surgeries, and I was born with a bunch of congenital birth defects that I didn't realize how God will chasten people, because I'm always was down on what was going on, like, why me and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And trying to find out, listen to you guys' programs and stuff, but basically what it is glorifies him. And so it wipes that pride out.
Well, Robert, let me say this, brother. You've encouraged us. And Alex, have you ever been that place where you needed encouragement?
Yeah, a lot of times.
Me and you both. And have you noticed on this program when people like Robert call in and they say, man, we're praying for y'all. What does that do for you?
Oh, it just lifts my heart. Thank you all. Thank you all. And I know that many times, Bert and I and Brent Austin will have a phone call getting ready for the programs and planning, and we pray for the listeners, and we do pray for y'all, and we write these things down. And let me throw out this too, and yes, it encourages us, and we are deeply grateful. It really, everybody's enthusiasm for this show, it means the world to us. But be in prayer for VBS. A lot of churches this time of year, from now till August, churches will be doing Vacation Bible School. Let me encourage you, and you're going to be blessed. I cannot overstate how joyful this will make you, folks. Volunteer and help with Vacation Bible School.
Amen.
VBS, and I don't care where you are, I guarantee there's some VBS going on. Right, Bert?
They're going on. In our town, Tupelo, Mississippi, I'll come through, and there'll be signs on the side of the road welcoming people coming to their Vacation Bible School concerning what God is doing. Yes. So, yes, Alex.
Pitch in and help.
Yeah.
I promise you, folks, there's a job for you. And invest a few days. You will be so full of joy helping these children hear about Jesus. So volunteer.
I had got over being in Vacation Bible School 60-something years ago. It still has affected my life. Father, be with the Vacation Bible Schools. Be with those workers. Help those that are thinking about it. Let them say, we need to help. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for what you're doing. Praying for Robert, God, that you would help him, strengthen him. And as they go back and have to take something out and put something in, that you would speak to his heart, that he would know you are there. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll see everybody tomorrow, or at least we will hear from you tomorrow on Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.